him.
That's right. So. Starting a new series called Faith Walk, where we're going to be talking about kind of like our core belief as a church. So I'm going to take our time on this and probably going to be 13 plus weeks that we're going to be on that. Kind of like our statement of faith. What do we believe as a church? So we're going to break that into each part of our core belief, and we're going to teach on this. And if you guys can tune in and watch us online, Facebook Live, and also on our YouTube channel, you can tune in at your own time and be able to catch any of those series that we've covered over the past year. You can see it on the YouTube channel. Like and subscribe, right? Say what, Tidal Wave? 9 to 12, Tidal Wave, you are dismissed. You guys might have already left, so thank you for turning the AC on right now. I love it. We've been gone for a little bit in the hot, hot weather. So today, I really welcome the cooler temperatures that we're getting now. I think it's kind of like unusual. You come back to Kodiak and you see a little bit of rain. You're like, hallelujah, rain. Thank you, Jesus. So probably you might be have a different opinion about this, but I totally enjoy that, like a little bit of a cooler temperature right now. So anyway, if you got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to the book of Jonah. Yeah. Today we're going to start a brand new series called Jonah, a man who ran and a God who chased. So that's the theme. I love starting those type of messages when we're talking about calling. We're talking about new beginnings and new starts, because a lot of us, this is what we're facing right now in this season of our lives. We're facing new starts where kids are going back to school. That's a yippee, hallelujah, they're going back to school. And for some, you know, we're looking forward to kids getting back to school. So we have a little bit of a routine. For some of you, this is a newfound routine, like finding a church, for example. So those who are here for the very first time, we certainly welcome you to Oceans United. Hopefully this would be your home. And new beginning, a new start. I love to talk about the calling that God has for us. We respond to the calling by first responding to the call. It was a call that we received. So throughout this season, I will be talking a lot about the call, okay? About the life of different Bible characters, different books that we have in the Bible that talks about destiny, that talks about God's plan, God's purpose for our lives. Why are we here? Is there a meaning for us being here today at Oceans United? So hopefully you'll find that. Hopefully God will minister to you right there where you are. So today, the book of Jonah, I'm going to spend a little time building a foundation, because we're going to be in that series for the next few weeks. So Jonah is an amazing book. It's very small. It's only 4 chapters in the Bible. I believe there's only 48 verses. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe there's only 48 verses in that book. But yet again, when I started studying this book, there is so much meat in the book of Jonah. I feel like we can stay there in this book for the rest of the year. I'm serious. There is so much as I'm preparing. I'm like, Lord, slow down. Slow down. I'm going in the bathroom and I'm talking to Dawn. I'm telling her. She's like, are you writing this down? I'm like, I don't know. I need to write things down, because God seems to be downloading so much of that. There's so much life and fire in that book. I am so excited to introduce the book of Jonah. Because when we talk about Jonah, even if I mention the word Jonah, guess what? What's the very first thing that comes to your mind? The whale, right? You think about the fish. Now, is Jonah, the story of Jonah, is that a myth? Is that some kind of allegory that we have in the word? Well, neither. It's neither one of a story or an allegory. It is a real life event that happened in the life of this, in the Bible we refer to Jonah as a minor prophet. Minor prophet. But yet again, there's so much that God did in the life of this man. As a matter of fact, it's so important that even Jesus made mention of Jonah and the big fish. Right? So we'll get to that in the weeks to come. The moral of the book of Jonah is not how big the fish was. It's how big our God is. That's the moral of the book of Jonah. It's the story of a man who really ran from God and a God who ran after that man. Isn't that the grace of God? Isn't that how we can summarize what the grace of God really means? It's a man who actually chose to run away from God's calling. Run away from the presence of God. But yet again, God in His grace, in His love, that is unconditional, chased after this man. It's the story of a prodigal prophet. A prodigal prophet and a pursuing God. If I were to ask any of you to give me a little bit of your personal testimony on how you found God, I'm sure we'll find this common grounds in terms of we ran from God, we ran from the calling, but God chased us, and God found us. God restored us. I'm sure we'll find this as a common ground when we talk about testimony. And certainly this is true in the life of Jonah. So welcome to Jonah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that we have the privilege this morning to dive into your word. Let your word, Lord, come alive. Speak to all of us this morning. Change our hearts and change our minds. Do something in us, in all of us. Something new, something fresh, something that we've never experienced before. Anoint me to deliver this word. Let me diminish and you increase right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Jonah 1, and we're going to read the first three verses together. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai." A little fun fact here, Jonah means dove, like the bird. The bird. And a dove is symbolic for peace. And the word Amittai means truth. So Jonah could be called the son of truth. Jonah, the son of truth. And the word that came to Jonah is this: "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Another fun fact, the word Nineveh, it means the residence of Nunu. I don't know if you guys are catching a little bit of the VeggieTale. A little bit of VeggieTale here. I believe VeggieTale did a great job because Nunu in Akkadian means fish. Fish. So Nineveh is really fish town. It could be Kodiak. I mean, really, it could be Kodiak. It could be Kodiak. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? God has a sense of humor. The guy with the biggest fish story is called to go to fish town. Crazy. In verse 3 says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah, the son of truth, is now running away from the truth. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pause here for a moment. Some of you might be very critical of Jonah. I mean, really, what an idiot. I mean, seriously, think about it. Who would run away from God? I mean, that call from God is very clear. I mean, there's no like ifs and buts in there. Arise and go. And the people were already mentioned. He knew exactly what the assignment was. But yet again, he ran away. Right? So why run away from God when the assignment is so clear? But if we want to be truthful here this morning, being in church and all, there is truly a Jonah in all of us. There is a Jonah in all of us because at some point in time, we ran away from God. Right? We ran away from God at some point. It might not be physically. We might not have run away physically, but we certainly have run away emotionally, in our hearts, in our attitudes. You know, I mean, how many of us have had a bad attitude being in church, trying to find a parking space, trying to find a seat here this morning? I mean, you know, little thing like, oh, rubs us the wrong way, or we have a little attitude about worship, about everything, and we miss the call. We miss the call because attitudes get in the way of the voice of God. And it robs us of the call. So there are several points I want to draw your attention to this morning. And they are all attached to God's call. They are all attached to God's call. If I want to put a subtitle to this message, I would call it God's call. God's call on your life. And when I mention the word call or calling, I am not referring a lot to the big picture. Like, what do you want to do when you grow up? Do you want to be a teacher? Do you want to be a pastor? Do you want to be a doctor? I'm not really talking about this. I'm talking about the call in the simplest form of the call. It's a call that you get from God giving you a direction to do something. An assignment that God wants you to do. A person that God wants you to connect with. A person that he wants you to pick up the phone and make a phone call and reach out to and perhaps even invite to church. Perhaps an old adversary that God wants you to reconcile with. Perhaps an estranged relationship that he wants you to lean into, to pour out your heart into. Maybe something was not right between you as a husband and a wife, and God is speaking to you, dropping a call on you and saying, put your arms around her. Let her know that you love her. Write a little note. It might be something as just as simple as that kind of call. Not so much the big call, because when we talk about the calling, all we think about is the biggest thing. What's the biggest move? Where does God wants us to go? It might be just the simplest form of a call. So I've got 6 points here this morning. Like I said, there was so much download that was happening. I was slowing down. I started with 3. I'm like, oh, I'm good. But then each time I'm talking, I'm meditating, I'm studying the word, there's one more, and there's one more, there's one more, and I ended up with 6. So are you ready this morning? I mean, we're going to be here for a couple of hours. So I hope you guys are ready. Because, you know, I've been gone for 2 weeks. So guess what? Everything has been bottling up. And I've been kind of holding back, and I'm like, okay, when we were gone, I mean, it's hard to be away from church. It's hard to be away from people. And I was surrounded by people. I mean, thousands of people every single day. And but it was like you could, even in the midst of a crowd, you can hear that distinct voice of the Lord. That's where all the downloads was happening. So this morning, point number one is this: God's call is not based on our timing. Isn't that crazy? It's not based on our timing. Look at those two words: arise, go to Nineveh. Right? Arise and go. Go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. See, the timing was not right for Jonah. Because arise and go indicates what? In a place of comfort. Now is the time to go. But Jonah was in this place of comfort, a place where he was content with what was happening. And if you study the ancient time, the time period of where Jonah is at that point in his life, it's about 750 BC. It was during a time of peace between Israel and Assyria, with Nineveh being the capital city of Assyria. So it was a time of peace. It was the perfect time for Jonah to sit back and relax. He's the prophet of the Lord after all. Remember, he's getting all the messages from God, but this time was in a time of peace. Nothing was happening. So he was sitting back and enjoying himself. And then that word came, arise and go. How many of you would agree that God's timing and our timing are very different? God is on a different schedule altogether. I remember the time in Oklahoma when Don and I, we receive a call from God. And the call was to arise and go. And we had our lives planned out. I mean, it was totally planned out. I'm a planner. So everything was planned out. I knew exactly what was expected of me. We were planted in the perfect church. We were planted in this church. We grew up in this church. We were married, not really in that church. We were married on the campus of Oral Roberts University at the time. But it was all connected. It was perfect, the perfect setting, perfect church. I had the perfect job at Oral Roberts University at the time. And we lived in the perfect neighborhood, Bixby, Oklahoma, with the perfect zip code. I remember when we were dating, Dawn was like, she was student teaching during that time in Bixby, Oklahoma. She's like, I want to live in that neighborhood. That's where I want to live. Zip code 74008, right? That was it. You know when you're a planner, you think about these things. I was like, yeah, that is it. That is the place. And guess what? We found a house there. And we were planted in this place. We loved it. We had the perfect job, perfect neighborhood, perfect zip code, perfect family. At that time, we had two boys. Perfect. Everything was perfect. And then in October 2008... we heard the call. And the call was, I would have settled at that time for that kind of call where you shall have a daughter and you shall name her Soraya. That would have been perfect call. That would have been right. But that was not so. The call was arise and go and leave that place of comfort. That place of comfort. When you got to leave that behind. In fact, the call was this: go where my light is seen dim. And my voice is heard small. That was Alaska. Where my light is seen dim and my voice is heard small. Let me make this clear. Is God against planning? No. God loves when you plan. But this is what He wants you to do. Would you submit your plans to Him? Would you allow Him to guide each and every one of your steps? That's what God wants. He wants you to be a planner. But He doesn't want you to be stuck in that place of comfort where all you see is just your plan and not His will. See, because your plan can cast a shadow over the will of God. So this is why we have to constantly go back and check with the Holy Spirit. Is this your will? Let not my will, but yours be done. It's that process of submitting to the authority of God. And plan all you that you must. He says here in Proverbs 16:9, we make our plans. We make our plans, but it is the Lord that determines our steps. Right? It is the Lord that determines each and every step that we take. Point number two is this. God's call is not based on our liking. It's not like God is going to come up to us and with a list of options. Take your pick. What do you want to do here, buddy? You don't like this zip code? You don't like 74008? How about 74096? How about that? Can we work on this? God is so constant and so much of authority in terms of the location, in terms of the assignment, in terms of the call that you must submit in order to fulfill His plan. If you try to do it, you have to reach a negotiation with God. It doesn't work. I don't know if you've tried it in your own life, but every time I try to negotiate with God, it doesn't work very well. It never goes my way. It never goes my way. And when I look back now, I thank God it never goes my way. In the middle of the negotiation with God, who said, can we reach a middle ground here, Lord? You know, maybe not Alaska. How about middle ground? How about Colorado? That sounds great. You know what I mean? It's perfect weather. It's nice. How about there? How about just meeting us halfway? But God knows where we need to be. He knows the assignment that He's assigning us to do, right? He knows the call. He knows the person. He knows you guys were going to be here today. You know what I mean? He knows every part of every aspect of your life, but it goes into that process of submitting to His timing and here recognizing that it's not always going to be what you want to do or what you would like to do. So God's call is not based on our liking. Nineveh was not the destination, the holiday destination of choice for Jonah. It was not like, you know what, that's the perfect place. That's Orlando. we're just coming back from Orlando. That's Orlando, that beautiful weather. But it was not the destination of choice for Noah. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. Assyria, they were the mortal enemies of Israel. I know they were in a time of peace, but yet again, why would you go to your enemy and cry out against it and warn them that God is about to judge them and they need to repent? Let them die. Seriously, this is what was going on with Jonah. And we're going to get to that in the weeks ahead. But really, it was not so much that they were barbarians. And really, they were. They were barbarians. The Ninevites, I don't even know if you call them Ninevites, but the people of Nineveh, they were barbarians. They would kill the people. They would torture them, chop off their heads, and pile them up at the entrance of their gates. so that anybody that would walk in would recognize how powerful they were, how barbaric they were in their culture. So they wanted their statement, and God is telling him, Jonah, why don't you go there? I mean, you know, Jonah wanted to get ahead of in life, not add his head to the pile. Just came to me. Thank you for the couple of laughs. Sometimes God's plans comes up in a package that we don't like. That's the bottom line. He'll come up in a package in the wrong time, our time, that doesn't fit into our agenda. We don't want it. We don't like it. We don't have any desire to do anything. You know, it's like, hey, well, how about the scripture? God will give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, what about it? Obedience is better. The desire comes in after you obey. See, a lot of time we want, oh, you know what, I really wanted Colorado. I mean, you can stay there all you want and say, oh, you want Colorado, but you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be fulfilled. You're going to miss the mark. And guess what? God's going to keep coming back at you again and again and again. But you'll stay where you are and you'll never grow. You'll never push forward to the plan that God has for you. Sometimes God's plan comes in wrapped in a package that we just don't like. Here's the desire. Psalm 34:7 says, delight yourself also in the Lord. This is after you made your plan, after you submit to Him. Delight yourself in the Lord means trust in Him. Trust in His plan, trust in His ways, trust in His timing, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. The desire comes in as you go. As you go, you get the desire. Like the desire to come here to Kodiak. I mean, I know maybe not a lot of you had a desire to end up here in Kodiak, but the desire comes in as you go, as you obey where God wants you to go. Number three is God's call does not guarantee our success. I'm going to let that digest for a little bit. Because a lot of time we think that when we've heard God's call, this is it. Success is guaranteed. But it's not. Jonah heard from God, but his success was not guaranteed at all. Nineveh was only 500 miles away from where Jonah was. Only 500 miles. Couple of days of journey to get out there. But where did he go? Tarshish. You know how far Tarshish is from where they are? 2,500 miles. All the way in Spain. All the way in Spain, if you look at the map of Israel, north, northeast, you'll find Nineveh. In today's timing, Nineveh would be in Iraq, probably the city of Mosul. That's where it's going to be at. But he decided he was going to go to Tarshish, which is on the tip of Spain. 2,500 miles away. Jonah chose Tarshish. That was a choice that he made to be away from the call, to be away from the presence of God. So the question is, did Jonah heard from God? Yes, absolutely he did. But that did not guarantee his success. The mere fact that we hear from God, that we've heard the call, does not guarantee our success. So if hearing from God does not guarantee our success, then what does? Obedience. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is our obedience that guarantees success. The success of the call hinges on you. The success of the call hinges on me. My obedience, your obedience. Say, for example, think of an example. If you, say for example, you're at Safeway. You're at Safeway. You are in the cereal aisle. You're familiar with the cereal aisle. You're in the cereal aisle, and you're doing your own thing, and then you look up, and you see Susie Q. Any Susie Q? I hope there's no Susie Q here. You see Susie Q going towards the meat section. You look down, because guess what? Susie Q is crazy. So that's why I'm hoping there's no Susie Q here. You look down. You don't want to make eye contact with Susie Q. You look down. And at that same time that you look down, you get the call. You get the call. Who? It's God. It's God. And you answer, yeah, I want you to go talk to Susie Q. I want you to pray for her. She's going through some stuff, and the Holy Spirit is downloading some stuff about Susie Q that you never knew. And God is saying, I want you to go and minister to Susie Q. Now, phrase frame this right there. You got the call. Now, the success of that call hinges on who? God? No. Right? Not God. Susie Q? No. No.
You.
It's you. It's me. The call came to me. Now, we can answer this in a different way. Oh, you're breaking up, Lord? Do you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I mean, we can answer it that way, you know, and we can answer it that way and not take the call, but the success of that call hinges on my obedience. I mean, we can take a selfie, hashtag Island Life, Don AT&T. I mean, you know, we can make up all kinds of spiritual stuff about not receiving the call, but the call came. The call came, and it came from God, but yet again, it does not guarantee success. The only thing that guarantees success is the obedience of responding to the call. God wants us to go talk to Susie Q. So I believe that there would be a Susie Q in your life in the week to come where you would find a Susie Q that God wants you to reach out to and do something, whatever God wants you to do. But you got to walk in that obedience, because the obedience makes the connection. And that's how you walk in obedience with God. That's how the call becomes the calling. Don't diminish, oh, it's just Susie Q. Susie Q could be connected to your calling, to your destiny, to your purpose. It takes those little acts of obedience to make the connection to God's bigger plan. A lot of time we miss it. We miss it because we think that this is too small. Lord, I want you to speak in a big way. I want the big project. I want the big plan. But we can't obey God in the little, tiniest detail. Be in church. How about that? Be plugged in. How about that? Serve in the church. How about that? It starts there. A lot of time we want to see the big picture, the big connection. We want the limelight, but we don't want to do the work. We don't want to walk in that obedience. But they are all connected to God's bigger plan, His master plan. Paul said it this way: walk worthy of the calling. Walk worthy of the calling. Walk in obedience and not in rebellion. How about that? Walk in obedience and not in rebellion. Point number four is this. God's call comes at a price. God's call come at a price. In going back to 1 Jonah chapter 1 verse 3, it says, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And I want you to catch the wording there in the few sentences following. He says he went down. He went down to Joppa and found a ship to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Whether you choose to respond or not to respond to God's call, there is a price to be paid. Whether you respond to the call, whether you take the call from God to do something regarding Suzy Q, there is a price to be paid. There is a price to be paid. Jonah paid the price. He paid the price. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. The metaphor here is he went down spiritually. He went down spiritually by choice. That was a decision that he made, is to walk away from God's call. He went down into that ship. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the bowels of the ship. And he paid the fare. I mean, those are haunting words for me. He disobeyed. He went down spiritually. And he paid the price for it. There's a price to be paid when you move away from the presence of God. It's a price. It's a heavy price you pay when you move away from the presence of God. Let me ask you this question. I want you to think about this. Did Jonah ever reach his destination? I mean, think about it for a moment. Maybe you never thought about it in that respect. But did he ever reach his destination? Tarshish? No, he did not. He did not. But he paid the fare. Right? He paid the fare. He never reached the destination. He paid the fare. Here's the principle here. When you go your own way, you never reach your destination, but you always end up paying the fare. Some of you need to write this down. When you go your own way, you never reach your destination, but you always end up paying the fare. But here's a better principle. When you go God's way, you will always reach the destination. Guess who pays the fare? He does. When you go God's way, when you follow His plan, when you follow His will, you'll reach the destination. He'll pay the fare. He'll pay your way. That's why God's will is God's bill. God's will is always God's bill. God will never call you to do anything that He will not equip you to do it. He will always equip you. He will always provide for you. In fact, His name is Jehovah Jireh, the God who goes ahead of you and makes provision. So the fare to Nineveh was already paid for. God had already gone ahead of Jonah and worked on the heart of the king and even the people. They were ready to receive him. But he chose to go his own way. He found a different destination, never never reached his destination, but ended up paying the fare because he was trying to go his way instead of God's way. Point number five is this. God's call is always on repeat. Isn't that amazing? God tries once. He doesn't give up after the first try. That's what I mean by God's call is always on repeat. He keeps coming back for us for some reason. You kind of wonder why. You know what? Why would be a God who's so powerful that spoke the world in existence? This is the God that Jonah chose to walk away from. But yet again, God make another call back to this guy, who by choice decided to go to a different destination. He thought that deep down in this bowel of this ship, he would escape the presence of God. God had him on speed dial, and God has you on speed dial. Even if you are in church, you can be away from the presence of God. Did you know that? You can be sitting down here and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and yet again, be away from His presence. So I'm hoping throughout this series, as we dive into the life of this man who chose to run away from God, that you will find your way back to God. That's the most important thing. If the message doesn't lead us back to God, we've missed the message. What's the point of doing all of this stuff and talking about Jonah if it doesn't bring us back into a relationship with Him? That is the purpose of Him even making that call again. In verse 4 it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind. Isn't that amazing when the Holy Spirit wants to get your attention? I mean, God went big on that one. God went big. He sent out a big, great wind, a big storm. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. But Jonah had got down into the lowest part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. Isn't that what we do a lot of times when we want to get away from the presence of God? We look at a location on the map. Maybe it's the perfect vacation plan, whole package, a beautiful package. All we want to be is away from the presence of God. But the word came to David saying, even if you make your bed in hell, I'll be there. Where else can you hide from the presence of God? There's not a single place that you can go and try to be away from the presence of God. Might as well say, Lord, I just surrender. I just let go. Have your way. God found him. And then in verse 6, which is crazy. Sometimes we think about, we over-spiritualize stuff. We make the gospel so far out of reach for anyone to find a loving God. A God that will love us unconditionally, that will go to the extreme to get to us. This is what God used. God used an unbeliever. You know, isn't that crazy when we think about the calling, the call, and we always think it's going to come from a preacher? God will use anyone, anybody. Anyone who's willing. God can use a donkey in the Bible. I mean, how much more? I mean, I'm better looking at that than a donkey today. God can certainly use me. He can use you. You don't need a pulpit. You don't need a title by your name to reach somebody to tell them that God loves them. You are commissioned. You are ready to go. You are ready to serve. That is part of the Great Commission. God uses everyone to reach the lost. In this case, God used the captain of the ship, an unbeliever, to repeat the call to Jonah. Because Jonah thought that he would be away in this bowel of this ship, away from the call. But God had another plan. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Isn't that crazy? He was sleeping. He was sleeping on that call. And the man came to him and said, "What do you mean, sleeper?" And here's that word that he uses again. Arise. Arise. Get up from your slumber. Awake. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us that we may not perish. How far can you go from the presence of God? Not very far. Not very far. And lastly, my sixth point is this. God's call is always covered with His grace. Always covered with His grace. In verse 15, he says, "So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea." Now you say, you know, where's God's grace in this? Dude is about to become fish bait. Somebody call the Coast Guard. And the sea ceased from its raging. Then the man feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Basically, the mariners there, they all got saved in the process. See, sometimes we think God's call is exclusively about us. Don't we think that sometimes? That, hey, you know, we got the call. It's all about me. But no. God has a plan that extends beyond you. Beyond me. See, when we left that zip code of 74008, we had no idea what the zip code in Anchorage, Alaska was going to be. But He did. His challenge to us was simply this. Would you let go of that place that you're calling perfect? Because in our minds, in our hearts, we've worked hard for so many years to create that place of comfort. Everything was there. But God was getting us to a place where we would actually walk away from everything that we've built up. Would you let it go? Would you surrender and let go of everything that you've built up? And trust me in that journey. We left in 2008 when the housing market crash. So selling a house was impossible. It was impossible to sell a house. It came to the point where God was saying, "Would you still let that go?" Just leave and go to a place where you have no job. You have no guarantee of getting any kind of income. Would you just go? Would you go where my light is seen dim and my voice is heard small? Knowing that you have no guarantee of success. I remember looking at Dawn and said, I guess we must go. Then I went and then resigned at my job. And they all thought I was crazy. I mean, I really thought I was crazy. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, when you are a father and you have two little kids and you have no source of income to provide for your family as a father, as a husband, I mean, I thought I was nuts. Like, okay, you know what? Let's just go. I've done it once before. I remember in 1999 when I received Christ in England, and I'm like, that's what I did. I've done it once, I can do it again. And every time I did it, God was always faithful. So God's call is always covered with His grace. His grace is simply this: you have the saving grace of God, but you also have the divine enablement of His grace. This is where the grace comes in and enables you to do something that you cannot do on your own. That's another side of grace. His grace came in and empowered us, Dawn and I, to let go and follow the voice of God. Even if you run away from His call, His presence, His grace will always chase you. Isn't that amazing how God is? I mean, we sing this beautiful song. They all have this theme in common: God's grace, His mercy is never ending. He'll come after us. He'll leave the 99 and come after the one. That's the grace of God. In verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights." The fish was not God's judgment on Jonah. That was His love and His saving grace. The story of Jonah is that of a man who ran away from God and a God who ran after him. That's the story of Jonah. And there is a Jonah in each and every one of us. So as we get ready to close, I'm going to tell you how we're going to do this. We're going to worship in a little bit. And we're going to have a place of altar where we can come and we can finally say, "Lord, I'm ready for Your call. I've been putting You on hold for a little bit, but I'm ready for that call. I'm ready to answer. I'm ready to respond. Would you please stand?" I wish Jonah was here this morning, in person. And we're going to get to meet him and tell and ask him about his fish story. I wonder how big the fish would be by the time we start having this conversation with Jonah. You know, the fish story is always bigger. It's always bigger. There's always the big fish and the bigger fish, and it keeps going bigger and bigger and bigger. But if Jonah was here this morning, I believe his testimony could be summarized as this: I ran from God, then I ran to God, and finally I ran with God. I believe this would be his testimony. I ran from God, then I ran to God, and finally I'm running with God. Before we start running with God, we must first start running to God. I'm looking in the room and I see many runners in this place. I see many runners. God has put this passion in you to run. But I'm asking you this morning, would you run to God? Would you just surrender and run to Him? By running to Him, He reorganizes your life. He puts everything in perspective. Things that you hold dear as, oh man, this is a non-negotiable comfort. He gives you something even better than that. He wraps it in a package that maybe perhaps at first glance, you don't like it. It doesn't look very appealing. But if you take the time and you allow the Holy Spirit to unveil one layer at a time, you'll find that wrapped inside is this most precious gift that you'll find perfectly wrapped just for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Even before we have the time of altar right now, Lord, we want you to minister to each and every one of us. Right here, right now, right where we are. Speak to us. Lead us. Guide us. Equip us to receive the call. Let your voice be louder than our doubts. Let your voice be clearer than our fears. Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you right here, right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As we keep worshiping, this place is going to be opened up for altar. We're going to hear. They're going to worship, and you're free to worship with us. Stay as long as you need. But I don't want you to leave without receiving prayer if you need it. Without hearing a word from God. We all need it. Amen. Otherwise, you're dismissed. God bless you.